Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
God, now as we stand to speak on thy behalf, God, we pray that you would use us, Father, for the uplifting of your kingdom. We pray, God, that lives would be changed, that souls would be touched, that hearts would be made stronger, that minds would be made wiser. We thank you, God, now for the blessings that we shall receive through your word. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Choir, you have blessed us on today. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. May he bless you real good. In the book of Luke, if you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 6. There is a word from the Lord. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. If you found it, you can read along with us. If you're still looking, just give attention to the screen and you will see it there. Amen. Luke 6, 46 through 49. There you will find these words. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I say. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. For just a moment this morning, for just a few moments this morning, I want to preach from this subject, and I wish you would help me. I know sometimes in church settings we get tired of preachers telling us to tell your neighbor, because sometimes, I understand, amen, sometimes neighbor's hygiene may not be, you know, up to par, and you really don't want them telling you nothing. But just, this will be my last time, I hope. If you'll turn to your neighbor and help me with this subject. Here is the subject. Amen. He is Lord, but is he your Lord? Amen. He is Lord, but is he your Lord? No, thank you, ushers. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jesus is Lord. I said, I don't care what the New York Times says about it. I don't care what CNN says about it. I don't even care what you say about it, and you really, amen, shouldn't care what I say about it unless it lines up with this reality, and the reality is this: Jesus is Lord. But the question, the pressing question of the hour for us today is he our Lord? And you need to understand that that word Lord means master. And this brings in some difficulties and some complexities because we now live in a time where everybody wants to do their own thing.
their own way when they want to do it. We don't like to be told. As a matter of fact, statistics show that there is the greatest rebellion against authority during this generation than we've seen in a long, long time. Everybody wants to be their own master. But I've come by to remind church folk. I've come by to remind born-again believers. I've come by to remind people who are trying to get to heaven that if you're going to get to heaven, yes, first and foremost, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. And all of us are comfortable with him as our suffering Savior. All of us are comfortable with him as the propitiation for our sins. We're real glad about the fact that he went to the old rugged cross and he died for our sins, for our mess-ups and our mix-ups and all of that. We don't mind telling folk that he's our Savior, but where the problem comes in is when we've got to accept him as our Lord, as our Master. And I need you to understand today, Pleasant Hill, that if you want your life to go well, if you want to have prosperity in life, if you want, amen, I'm not going to stand here and promise you that you won't have problems, you won't have troubles and all of that, but the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And so if you, yeah, you're going to go through some trouble. Yeah, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm a member at the place where God blesses his people, but I've got to stand here today and testify that every now and then I got to go through hell and high water. Every now and then I'm lied on and I'm talked about, I'm mistreated, and all of that. But the good news of the hour for the saints of God is that if Jesus is your Lord, he promises. I said he promises that he will deliver you out of them all. Don't ever get it twisted. When you look back over your life and you have to remember times when you were sick, and you somehow got out of the hospital, don't get to thinking that it was just because you had a good doctor. Amen. Don't ever get to thinking that when you were in your financial problems and you didn't know how you were going to pay your bills, amen, you didn't know how you were going to pay that light bill, but somehow, some way, the money showed up, amen. Don't get to thinking that it was because you were so smart or because you had the right connections. It's because we serve a God. I said it's because we serve a God who is able to deliver us out of our distresses. But if you want that kind of deliverance, you need to, amen, yes, have a relationship with him as Savior, but you need to also have a relationship with him as Lord, Master. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. And where my witnesses at who know that half the time, the stuff God wants you to do, you don't want to do. Where are my witnesses who will testify that half the places that God wants you to go, you really ain't interested in going? As a matter of fact, somebody can testify that half the people that the Lord wants me to love, I really don't like them. And they don't care a whole lot about me, but because he is my master, I've got to do what he says do. Can I get a witness in here today? Well, there are two or three things that we can glean from this text that ought to help us to understand our relationship with Jesus as Lord. Amen. Here's the first point. When Jesus is Lord, there is a personal relationship with him. I said personal relationship. See, somebody's lived long enough to be able to say, I thank God that my mama knew him. I thank God that my daddy knew him. I thank God grandma and grandpa knew him, and they compelled me to go to church. But what I'm most excited about is that I can stand here today flat-footed and testify I know him for myself. Woo, how many of you can remember stuff grandma used to say, and it didn't make a lot of sense? Stuff mama used to say didn't make a lot of sense. You know, when the money would get funny and the change would get strange, and they would come up with some of those old sayings, and you were little and didn't have much sense, and you were there scratching your head, amen, not understanding what they were talking about. But you can testify, I've lived long enough now to know what grandma went when she said the Lord will make a way somehow. Come on, where are my folk who can say, I've walked the dusty shores of this earth long enough now to understand what grandpa meant when he said he may not come when you want him, but he will be there on time. Is there anybody here today who's thankful that, yes, I have a personal relationship with him? My brothers and sisters, amen, we're living in such serious times that a casual relationship with Jesus will not do. I said we're living in such dastardly times that a casual, mediocre relationship with Jesus will not do. If you read Matthew 24, amen, and I started, since my buddy Prince died, I started to preach from Matthew chapter 24, and I was going to entitle the sermon Sign of the Times, but the Lord took me a whole different way. But if you read Matthew 24, you will figure out that a lot of bad stuff is going to happen. Not because Reverend Garner said it, not because some fortune teller says it, but because Jesus said that in the last days, it's going to get rough. It's going to get rough. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be earthquakes in diverse places. There are going to be diseases. But that ain't even the worst of it. If you read on down a little further, it says that for his name's sake, we're going to die. Folk are going to die. I said for his name's sake. Some folk are going to die. You know, we always hear the little analogy where folks say if somebody would run in here with an AK-47 and say, anybody in here that believes in Jesus, I'm going to take your life. Now, I want all of you who believe in Jesus and you trust Jesus, I want you to stand up. The question of the hour is, would you be sitting? Or would you be standing? Or would you be with me standing and running? I'm joking. Amen. You got to have a personal relationship with him. Y'all, it's about to get rough. Brother Moore, Deacon Moore blessed me, our treasurer. He's in the back with the money. But he a few years ago, he handed me a cassette tape. And I had forgotten all about it. But the cassette tape was a tape of my first sermon way back. I was still in college. And I had come home to give my first trial sermon. Amen. And it was from Matthew 24. The title of the sermon was, The Road is About to Get Rough. Will you be able to stand the ride? Can I ask y'all that question today? The road is about to get rough. But are you going to be able to stand the ride? Can I tell you how you're going to better be able to stand the ride? You're going to have a master. You're going to have, amen, you're not going to be at the helm. Jesus is going to be at the helm. You're not going to be in the driver's seat. Jesus is going to be in the driver's seat. Is there anybody here who believes that no matter what the devil brings your way, no matter what trouble comes, that Jesus is able to navigate you through the storms of life? I wish the Lord could get one or two witnesses who will look back over their life and remember some situations you were in that you didn't know how you were going to get out of that situation, but now you can testify it was the Lord that brought me through. It was the Lord that brought me out. That's why I give him praise. See, sometimes when folk are looking at you strange, amen, they're questioning, why is she standing? Why is she clapping? Why is she rattling the tambourine? Why is he saying amen, hallelujah, amen? You ought to give him one of those grandma looks, one of those looks that says, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Give him praise in this place. You got to, first of all, when Jesus is your Lord, you have a personal relationship with him. Now look at this, look at this. First of all, let me talk about the establishment of the relationship. Because, you know, we have a tendency in flesh to get beside ourselves, to get caught up in ourselves,
and think that somehow we were smart enough to figure it out. But as I talk about this personal relationship, you need to understand you really didn't even have a whole lot to do with the fact that you know him. Because look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, no man comes to Christ except the Father, what? Draws him. Do you know how I got to Jesus? God the Father, I don't know why. I can't explain what he thought about me. I don't know. But that's why we call it grace and mercy. Because guess what? It ain't had nothing to do with your education. It had nothing to do with your financial portfolio. It had nothing to do with your job or your family name. That's why all we can say is he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. So this relationship that we have with God was established by God the Father. He drew us to Jesus. That's number one. But not only the establishment of the relationship, I want you to think about the continuance of the relationship. Because the participle that we see here is present tense. He says, he who comes to Jesus. That word, the fact that it's present tense, suggests that you don't just come one time. But you come over and over and over again. Somebody's looking at me with a puzzled look. You're wondering, well, why do I have to keep coming to him? Because you wear flesh. Is there anybody here who knows flesh will trip you up? Come on, help me, Pastor. I'm going to help you. You know that you may have made some mistakes yesterday. Some of you heard me say this before. You may have made some mistakes yesterday, but last night, before you crawled into the bed, because you were afraid you might die in your sleep, You said, now I lay me, I pray the Lord, if I should die, I pray the Lord. Amen, amen. Now, some of you prayed that prayer, others prayed other prayers, but the point I'm making is that you prayed because for fear that you might die in your sleep, and so you said, Lord, forgive me of the mess I did, amen, in this day. But as you've heard me say before, when you woke up in the morning, the devil was already sitting at the edge of your bed, sitting on the foot of your bed, waiting on you to wake up. He's been there. Amen. Waiting on you to get up so he could tempt you all over again, so he could get you to slip up all over again. That's what the flesh will do for you. Amen. That's why we've got to come to Jesus every day. That's why every morning I wake up, I've got to make up my mind all over again that I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to make it my choice. When you wake up tomorrow, you need to wake up saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to make, when you get up on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and say, every day, you got to get up and say, I've made a new decision that for Christ I'll live and for Christ I'll die. Is God all right with you today? Give him praise. When Jesus is Lord, there's a personal relationship with him. But not only that, when Jesus is Lord, there are personal instructions from him. Personal instructions from him. It's in the text. Look at what he says. It says, and here's my sayings. That's the second term Jesus used to describe life under his lordship. This grows out of this personal relationship, because to be under his lordship is to be under his instruction. Here's another present tense participle. This means that this is a continuous thing. It is the pattern of life to be hearing his words. See, if he's going to be Lord of your life, you've got to be consistently, continually hearing what he says. Is there anybody here glad that he speaks to you? Okay, let me try this side over here. Is there anybody on this side that's glad, you're glad that the Lord speaks to you? Okay, y'all doing all right. Let me try. Is there anybody in this middle section, you're glad that the Lord speaks to you? Now watch this. Somebody didn't clap. Somebody didn't say amen, because they've gotten prayer all twisted up
And they have concluded that prayer is just me talking to God. But that is not prayer. Prayer is not just you talking to God. Real genuine prayer is, yes, you talking to God, but staying on your knees long enough to let him talk back to you. Is there anybody who's glad that the Lord will talk back to you? See, some of y'all are funny. Some of y'all are tricky. You know, and when they came out with this caller ID, Brother Tracy, years back, amen, that was a blessing and a curse at the same time. Caller ID, amen. Because, you know, some folks, you calling them, you in trouble, you need help, you calling them, and what do? They look and see the caller ID. They see that it's you, and they say, Empire Zone. Scandal is on. The have and have nots is on. And I'm going to have to call them back later. And sometimes they forget to call you back. But is there anybody here today who is glad that we serve a God? His line is never busy. He doesn't check his caller ID whenever you need to talk to him. I said whenever you need to talk to him. The old folks said it like this: whenever you need to get him, just dial one for the Father, dial one for the Son, dial one for the Holy Ghost, and he will answer your call. Why don't you thank God today that he will answer your call? Well, that's one half of prayer, is you calling him. Thank you, God. Thank you. That when I call you, you answer. But the second half of it is that if he's going to be Lord of your life, he wants to give you instructions, and he has to get those instructions to you through one of three ways. Amen. He's going to speak into your spirit. But there's one way we often neglect. He's been talking for thousands of years right here through this word. Amen. And I've said it before, but some of y'all Bibles just get so happy on Sunday. If you could hear what your Bible says when Sunday comes. Darryl Coley had a song that said, when Sunday comes. Some of your Bibles are, when Sunday comes, I'll finally get touched. Amen. I'll finally get some attention. Amen. Amen. And so God speaks to us. He speaks through his spirit. He speaks through the word. If he is your Lord, you ought to be digging deep in this word to find out what he wants to say to you. A few years back, there were these bracelets, WWJD. Some folk had the bumper sticker, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And 90% of them had no idea what Jesus would do because they hadn't heard from him in a long time. Where are the folk who understand that if you want to know what Jesus will do, you've got to get in the word? Can I tell you something else? Not only should you get in the word, you got to let this word get in you. Because I done met a lot of messed up, confused, crazy, so-called saints, amen, who are mixed up and messed up because they've been in the word. The word just ain't got in them. How many of you know that when the word gets in you, some stuff gonna change? I said, how many of you know that when the word gets in you, some things will change? I said, how many of you know that when the word gets in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit, some things are gonna change? Come on. I know I got one or two people who can say, I don't walk like I used to walk, and I don't talk like I used to talk, and I don't curse as much as I used to curse, and I don't lie. Because this word has been working on me. But then finally, if he's your Lord, number one, there is a personal relationship with him. Number two, there are personal instructions from him. But then finally, if he is to be your Lord, amen, there has to be personal obedience to him. Okay, maybe I read it wrong. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Oh, let me back up, rewind. Whosoever cometh to me, personal relationship, and heareth my sayings, personal instruction, and doeth them, personal obedience, he says, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep. If you're gonna build, amen, a nice structure, you got to have a nice foundation. If you really want prosperity in your life, you've got to make sure you got a foundation that is worthy of the building you're trying to build. And so finally, I come by to tell you that if he's going to be Lord of your life, not only must there be a personal relationship with him, and not only must you receive personal instruction from him, but finally, when Jesus is your Lord, there has to be personal obedience to him. And can I tell you, this obedience grows out of the relationship. Because if you love the Lord, you don't mind doing what the Lord says do. Is there anybody here that can testify that I don't have a doubt in my mind that he loves me? I know that he loves me because John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know that he loves me, and because I know that he loves me, I don't mind doing what he says do. Is there anybody here today who can testify that my life is better when I obey God? Is there anybody here today that can testify that I have prosperity when I obey God? Is there anybody here today who can testify that obedience is better than sacrifice? Won't God make a way for you? Won't God open doors for you? Won't he be a friend when friends walk out on you? Won't he be a mother when mother is gone? Won't he be a father when father is gone? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Is he Lord of your life? I come by to challenge him. I come by to encourage him. Make him the Lord. Make him the Lord of your life. Because one of these old days, I said one of these old days, he's coming back again. And when he comes back, I want to go back with him. But the only way that I can go back with him, he's got to be my Savior, but he's got to be my Lord. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Give him praise if he's your Lord. Give him praise if he's your Master. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Come on, stand on your feet all over this place.
That time of year when the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville, Louisiana, the church where God blesses its people, Senior Pastor, the Reverend Joseph L. Dart, share those bountiful blessings with the community and friends and surrounding areas as part of its Family and Friends Day. On Saturday, May the 21st, 2016, the family picnic kicks off at 10 o'clock a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. There's going to be boiled crawfish, fried catfish, hamburgers, hot dogs, and also a health wellness fair and free games galore. 7 p.m. to end a day of togetherness and fellowship at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. This year, as a special treat for you, music lovers young and old, the award-winning, none other than Mother Mossy Burks and the Mississippi